This is about to be the fakest thing we've ever done on this show.
What?
You didn't hear that?
Where'd you get that from?
This is actually...
oh, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
This wow. Is, yeah.
I guess I had to have to come clean on that. That actually is water. It's not beer.
Well, if you at least if you spill it, it won't be as big of a deal.
All right. All right. We're still doing that. That's fine. That's fine.
Dude, you literally went to short jokes last episode.
Hey, lazy why would I not do that at least once within the first 20 episodes? You weren't going to be able to make it that far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you make a good point.
All right. In light of last episode's conversation, man, about Halle Berry and whatever, right? there's a live action Mulan coming out. All right?
Yep. Yep.
So how many white characters?
starring Anthony Anderson, right?
I was trying not to have a black character in there. Oh man. How many white characters? How many white Chinese soldiers are we going to have in that movie, Kev?
As long as Tom Cruise and Matthew McConaughey are two among the many, I'll be good. Yo, what's homegirl's name from Aloha? Emma something or other?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm predicting all the backup soldiers will be white. This is Rap Sucks Radio, y'all. Your man, Trek Life, your fam, Kev Sakota. We'll see y'all on the other side and get this party started. Let's go. Yep.
This is Mr. Show. Y'all now listening to Rap Sucks Radio. Radio. Check it out.
What up, y'all? You are live on Rap Sucks Radio with your fam, Trek Life, and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Ni hao. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Oh, boy. All right. you are live and direct, man. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for kicking it with us. Let's get into who is out here tripping, which is going to be a bit of a discussion this week. You know what I'm saying? All right. Christopher, yep. We're going to go with the last name pronunciation of Cooker, is out here yep. tripping. A lot of you guys already know this story. Christopher Cooker is the man who was walking out of his apartment complex, condo complex, with his son in San Francisco, saw a black man named Wesley Mitchell, and called the police on the trespasser, saying that, you know, Mr. Mitchell recorded the whole episode of him calling the police, including his son begging him to not do it. Begging him. Like, yo, let's just go. You know, probably a pretty savvy internet son. Like, yo, chill. You're about to go viral, Dad. Knock it off.
Yeah.
After days of backlash, Mr. Cooker wrote in a statement posted on Medium that he did not target Mitchell due to his race, but reacted based on his past. His father was killed when he confronted a trespasser outside of his home, and past experience and fears can cloud someone's intentions, he wrote. For my child's safety, my safety, and that of the building, I felt it was necessary to get help in the situation. Furthermore, I've encountered trespassers in my building, and we've been robbed several times. This is not uncommon in San Francisco, and the bad actors are all different colors. That didn't sound like an apology to me, by the way. But yeah, but Kev, this is reported via CNN. At least that portion was the apology portion. Kev, you had some different thoughts on this, though, right?
Not necessarily different. So this is what I figured what we were going to end up getting into is not the conversation that has generally been had on social media or in the press about this particular situation, is the deeper conversation about the way we interact with each other. You know what I mean? And the fact that now, again, because we discuss things that, you know, because it's now, it's today, and it's the internet era, is the way that, you know, in certain ways, the internet and the ability for everybody to videotape, encounters, whether positive or negative, has leveled the playing field in certain ways when it comes to general nonsense that humans do when they come in contact with each other. So that's kind of where, what I wanted to get into. Cause the thing about it is that first of all, this is assuming that what I read about this situation is correct, which included a couple things that I think, you know, for people who have lived in big buildings, you know, in anywhere, big apartment buildings, is that, you know, you have like one entrance that's usually controlled by a keypad or whatever, you know, the code, or you have a code, or you have a key. And then, you know, what's the idea of that is that someone who ain't supposed to be in there can't just get in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And what I read was that this dude and his son were walking out. From what I could tell, it sounded like they were walking out. And as they were walking out, and I'm picturing this because I've been in this situation, right? They're walking out and this
Wesley Mitchell.
Other guy, Wesley Mitchell, was waiting on somebody. And as I don't know what the situation was, but he basically went in.
Right.
And I don't know if he went in, you know, when they were walking out or whatever. And I don't care who you are. That's always a dicey situation, right? Cause it's like, I don't know you. And okay, first of all, talk to your neighbors. If you can, try to talk to your neighbors,
yeah.
Even if it's just to say hello. You might not know their names, but at least look somebody in the eye when you're on the elevator so you know who's living around you.
Yeah, it's very important.
That can also be difficult to do, but I mean, that's just some common sense community type stuff. But if I see somebody who's like, my first thought whenever I'm walking out, and this is from someone who was living in New York and not in any kind of a rough neighborhood in New York, but just like, it's like, yo, if you live here, you are supposed to be in there, you should have a key.
Right.
And if you don't,
right,
you should stop me and tell me you forgot your key. And you live in apartment what? And by the way, if we're in New York, I'm going to ask you that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, who, you know, what's up? You know, but there were also times when I would leave my apartment and there'd be somebody walking in with 14 grocery bags under their arm or whatever, and I'd just let them in.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
God forbid something crazy happens, right?
Well, I think here on Rap Sex Radio, we could clarify this entire thing, though, right? I don't think it's a problem to ask. You know what I'm saying? I think it's how you ask.
Right.
That's fine. I'll buy into that.
Of course.
But I don't think it's a problem to ask. The problem is calling the police.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Like, yo, I might ask you.
Exactly.
It's funny, man, because I was walking my dog today, and of course, you know, I don't know. I don't know why this person asked me that, but he was like, hey, do you live here? And I'm like, first of all, this isn't really that type of place where it matters. You know what I'm saying? But second of all, yeah. Matter of fact, I ain't never seen you before. You know? So I'm not going to reach out there and say it's because I was black or anything. I don't know. I don't even really get the context in which this person was asking me. Like, I'm trying to... I kind of paused for them to ask me a question, and they didn't ask me anything further. So I'm assuming they just didn't think I lived there and was wondering why I was walking through the complex, which is an open street to walk through. So it was really odd, but they didn't ask me rudely. And had I decided not to answer and kept walking the opposite way of the homes towards the park, them calling the police would have been ridiculous, right? If you ask Mr. Mitchell, hey man, I see you don't have a key. Do you live in this building? Because if you don't, we're just required to ask everybody, you know, to just for neighborhood watch purposes. I feel confident at least by the way that Mr. Mitchell handled the conversation post all of this, he would have been like, oh, no, I'm visiting my friend, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? To escalate it to contacting the police, which he said he did because, you know, like I read earlier, because his father was killed when confronting a trespasser. And how true that is, I'd hope that's true. I'd hope that's true within the context of this conversation and that wasn't made up to vindicate himself, right?
Yeah. Listen, that is a devastating story, but it's like you're not Batman. We don't need your origin story. No. It's like something bad happened. All you had to do was shut the door. Because there've also been times when I'm like, I see a delivery dude. I'm like, you're from UPS, but it's like I'm like, all right, who'd you here to deliver to? Talk to the man.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah,
he said for his child's safety and the safety and that of the building. If that was your concern,
you have your child in your arm and you're leaving.
Right.
So be cool. And then but that's the thing, is that it's you escalate. You know, you want to escalate it to call on the cops. It's like, if you feel so concerned, then why don't you walk him upstairs to wherever he's going?
Right. Oh, I mean, look,
you have enough time to call the police. It's like, hey,
yeah,
you know,
and I'll buy. Listen, let me take that back, because that's really unfair. I'll buy. That's unfair. The fact that his father was killed when confronting a trespasser outside of his home is man, that's horrible. You know what I'm saying? What I won't buy is his reaction to the trespassers in the building being robbed, and they are of all different colors. How do you know? How do you know? Have you seen every conviction? You have not. So stop. Let's stop with they're of all different color. You reacted to skin color to some degree. Whether it was total degree, that's arguable. But to some degree, right? Which makes one of the things I've noted on here, Mr. Mitchell's statements were kind of important to the conversation. I'm going to just read his quotes real quick. It's important for people to understand that when you call a police officer on an African American, it is completely different than someone calling a police officer on someone else. To me, that's a death threat. I can literally die from that altercation, and I would just simply be another hashtag in the news or on Twitter. It is important that people understand that. His next quote that I thought was powerful was, "Personally, I am African American, and I have been stopped and harassed at stores and different locations, and I have police officers asking me if I belong there or even in my apartment complex. People randomly telling me that I don't belong at that location." Here's the part that I find powerful, and this is the part I like to extend these things to all people of color, regardless of whether the situation is, you know, specific to a person of color, right? He said, "But I don't let those experiences shape or define the way I see other people." It, to me, that saddened me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because I embody all of that. I've been through all of that. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I might be a bit reactionary if you ask me the wrong way. I tend to not be highly reactionary regardless, but it's possible, man, that I'll be like, man, why are you asking me all these questions, man? Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
I've been in that situation. I've been in a grocery store just buying groceries, and, you know, had a security guard ask me why I'm there. Well, I don't know, man. It's a grocery store. Like, what? I'm here to tap dance. Like, I don't know. And get out of my face. You know what I'm saying? What? So I'm not saying don't call the police if you feel like you're in danger. Like, that's crazy, right? But what I'm saying is all of this, you know, from Barbecue Becky on up to Mr. Cooker here, all of this is kind of bringing out a point that you're making a death threat a lot of times when you call the police. You're making a threat to send me to jail without justifiable cause. Like, you're threatening me at that point. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the part of the loop that for some reason, after all of those situations, Barbecue Becky and all that stuff, it's like a lot of them were, you know, that's the thing I don't like about making up the cute nicknames, is that it takes away from the impact of what they did. You know, like,
right.
If you talk about Barbecue Becky, it's like at the end of the day, it was just as potentially tragic.
It was.
Because you called the cops. That's where the conversation ended, over something that was infinitely less important to anybody, you know, the use of a public space, than you know, letting somebody, you know, giving somebody the courtesy of holding the front door to your residence open because you feel safe enough to not, you know, see color.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
The case may be, right? It's like, but what Mr. Mitchell said is like, he, you know, that's the thing. It's like, listen, we just constantly on the news for every Barbecue Becky, there are five young men or women who are shot.
Yes.
By the very people you are calling.
Right. Right.
Many of them killed.
Many of them killed.
You know, or beaten.
Or falsely incarcerated.
You know.
Or just falsely incarcerated.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That, yeah, so if you don't see that there's that once you dial that number, you know, you have taken a step that is disproportionate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man.
In your reaction.
Yeah, I have a thing, and I don't know, man. It's kind of a weird thing to bring up on the show. I just have a weird thing about when people quickly call the police. You know what I'm saying? It's their job. I'm not knocking what they do. I just know when the police show up, they gotta find something to do. You know what I'm saying? And more often than not, somebody's called the police on something that is, you know, either about to pass anyway or not even really worth the police's time. But they gotta justify that time. So now they sweating everybody in the apartment complex. Now they walk around. Right. Look, you know what I'm saying? It's like, because they got to justify their time. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that more often than not, and whether this is this, you know, again, man, I don't really like to use my voice to disparage white people. I don't really think that there's anything gained from that. I know I say that every other show or whatever, but it's very important to me to say that. This ain't a kumbaya moment. This is just that I don't really give that much of a fuck about y'all to, like, smash y'all. You know what I'm saying? But I just think you got to stop using that as a threat, because you know that there's, you know, a difficult relationship between black people and the police. And that's why you're like, I'm going to call the cops, because you know, it's not so much I'm calling the cops in the same way that you call the fire department, right? There's a fire. Something's really happening. I'm calling the fire department because I feel unsafe, right? No. A lot of times when people threaten to call the police, it's like, nanny, 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 I'm calling the police. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, that's too dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Or something as simple as that there are many, many people who have, you know, I don't know what this dude's, either these guys' situations, and obviously their life history was in full. So I'm not talking about them, but that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, like, talk to your neighbor, especially if you live in a city like San Francisco or New York or LA. It's like, if you really want to wall yourself off from complete segments of the population, it's going to work against you.
Yeah, it is. Guaranteed.
So if you know, the one thing I would urge everyone to think about is if you are going to get ready to call the police, I genuinely feel like you're not just jumping to do it. Like, you're, you know, Barbecue Becking it up and stomping around and getting angry, and then finally you decide you're going to do that. And it may happen quickly, but it's not happening instantly.
Right.
Think about what you would do if you were carrying a weapon.
Right.
Would you just pull that shit out? It's like, no, because there's consequences. And it could go bad for me, for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, So, wouldn't you rather stop and either with your son there, if you genuinely feel like you're in danger because of whatever's happened in your life and whatever's happened in your building, hold the door open, send your son upstairs, close the door, look the man in the eye and tell him exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
We had four people get robbed here within the last month. I don't know you. If you had a key, you could get in the building on your own.
Right.
So I don't know why you're trying to walk in behind somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. So let's have a conversation out here before I feel like there's a situation that is not just, you know, so that I can feel certain about what situation you are putting me in.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I guarantee you that if you have that conversation with a man or a woman who is an adult, who is a reasonable person, they will say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to wait outside. Or I'm going to meet so-and-so in unit such and such. And you know what? I'll just call him from the box. I get it. I hear you. Cool.
Yeah. 90% of people would react that way.
Yeah, they're not gonna be like on some FU, you know.
Yeah.
With your, you know, this, you know, yeah.
Which is, I mean, come on. Frankenstein man. Head. But but yeah, you know what though? I kind of think of it this way though, like I'm actually thinking that I'm gonna start asking political looking businessmen if they live in my neighborhood, because I'm just afraid of the Jeffrey Epsteins that might be walking around.
Ah, here we go.
I cannot listen, dude. I do not get this. Might be, and this has been ongoing. At the time that we're talking about this, you know, Alex Acosta just got to hold this L. It's just crazy how much rich people are getting away with, and then turning around and pointing. It's just crazy. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's just crazy. So anyway, let's just kind of briefly, I don't know, whatever amount of time. I don't want to breathe. You know, it doesn't have to be brief. And side note, when I said I don't care about you to white people, it's I don't care about your feelings. Like you, I want you to have a happy life. I just don't care about your feelings. Anyway, I don't know how those two match. Have a happy life, but I don't care about your feelings. I guess I don't care if you have a happy life either. But the thing is, on the subject of Jeffrey Epstein, it does seem like... It does seem like the right doesn't really care about pedophilia when it's in their own group, especially. Almost in general, it's almost something that's not really discussed. Like just the super rapey vibe that they let pass. And if I didn't put any particular source for this, I just said, just go ahead and Google nasty ass Jeff Epstein and see what you find. But yeah, Kev.
Yeah, they had to reset their, you know, 40 days since a pedo accident.
Yeah, they did.
Little countdown there on the floor of the Republican factory there, because this dude, man, he's gone bananas with this stuff, you know. And I kind of put it in one topic of because I mean he's been in the news, so I think a lot of people know, you know, this is a billionaire from Florida who was very organized, like, pedophile.
Yeah.
You know, so cultivated, or whatever the word is, the SVU word, you know, and found young girls to rape. And there's no other way to say it. So he's a monster. And then the fact that he had money allowed him to deploy those financial resources to stop people who were speaking out against him, or to pay off people who were in a position to keep him out of trouble.
Yep.
But what I was saying is that I lumped that in with the topic of, I mean, first of all, there's Judge Roy Moore not too long ago, was accused of some of the same stuff that this dude's doing. And another topic that's been in the news recently, over the last year, is all the children at the border, some of which,
yes,
has come out over the last few weeks,
yes,
you know, have been abused, like straight up, not like abused in a neglectful way, which is already bad and inexcusable, but sexually abused. You know, so this stuff is happening, and it's like it's always been happening, but now it's literally in the news. And it that's one of those things that to not stop it, at least stop the instances that you are reading about in your newspaper on the front page instantly. It's not hyperbole to say that you are condoning it.
Right. Right. And
period.
You're complicit. And you know what I think really since the Bill Clinton era, I feel like, and I feel weird saying the left and the right, but just for the sake of description, I feel like more left-leaning people and politicians have been really quick to dismiss and cast out and cancel any of this. You know what I'm saying? Just, you can't be on the squad if this is what's going on. Now, I know that there are some anomalies in there, but I just think that left-leaning people have been far quicker to just be like, F that, you're out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just over. So, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. It just, and the more that you, I just go real tinfoil, man. Like, oh, man, y'all all involved. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's no big deal. Because some way, somehow, you guys are all involved. Whether you're the, you know, whatever end of it you're involved in, even to the point where you're aware it's happening, but it's somebody too powerful or too close or whatever for you to bring down. Like, to think that this goes all the way into the White House, you know?
Yeah, it's bananas, man. And yeah, who knows? You know, that Trump is crazy, but who knows what his involvement in all this stuff is. But like, I mean, Clinton got caught out there.
Right.
Just telling, like, listen, it's one thing to be, you know, Slick Willie. and be shading the truth, you know,
right,
real smooth,
right.
When this kind of thing comes out, you better get your ducks in a row
immediately.
And he just fumbled again, you know, which is like, it's like, hey man, that's on you, dude.
Yeah,
that's on you. We will gladly, if you're the the sacrificial lamb, after having gotten many passes, it's like, dude, you can't carry you no more, man.
No, you got to roll. But what? Let's skip 4-5 for a minute. Let's skip the stable genius, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Let's skip. Just skip ahead to Alex Acosta saying, that he's going to step down as labor secretary, so his handling of the 2008 prosecution of Jeffrey Epstein won't distract the U.S. economy's amazing performance. Can you think of something that matters the fuck less at this moment in this discussion than what the fuck that paragraph said, that sentence said? Like, you got to get you really should have been out here tripping person, but, you know, we had other things to discuss, Alex. But come on, yeah, dog.
Because
you are fucking, what are you doing right now? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, when Trump said I think when he left, he's, you know, Trump always gives not always, but he gave the joint, he stood next to him and spoke to the press. I don't know if it's a press conference, because I don't know if they do those anymore, but he said something like, he's a good man. He said he's a Hispanic. And at first I was like, I didn't know if he was pointing that out to say that, like, you know, some of my best friends are Latino.
Yes, probably why.
Or if he was saying, it like, he's not one of us. So you know, yeah. So you know, you can write him off.
Yeah,
he's about to be out of here.
Yeah.
You know, he, and by the way, obviously he had nothing to do with my strong economy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, but it just shows, man, every once in a while, I just mention it, like, if the American people cannot realize that they are less valuable than these dudes' pocketbooks, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. Like, I don't know how much more. Democrat, Republican, I don't know, man. Whatever. If you can't recognize that a lot of these political officials are put the dollar far over the value and your quality of life. I mean, I don't know what to tell you anymore. You know what I'm saying? You just have made a decision. You know what I'm saying?
It must be so, like, I know not all of everybody is cool, and, you know, like, there are people that I hate everywhere. but reporters, you know, it's like how can you do that job? And when one of these politicians says, well, I have daughters and sisters, it's like,
right,
how can not one of them shout out, like, what if he fucked one of them?
Right.
What would you do then?
Right. Right.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
It's like, because we all know what our answer would be.
Yeah. Kill this nigga.
It's like, I would be the most off-grid motherfucker that you never heard from again.
For real. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
these dudes are crazy.
They're wilding out. Jermaine, you know what, man? Speaking of obscure.
Obscure.
Yeah. What's up with Jermaine Dupri making some noise in the media over the last couple weeks?
Hip hop. That's right.
Young Jermaine. Jermaine got to shut up, yo. You just got to be quiet, fam.
What did he do? You threw this in into the mix.
I did. I threw this into the mix.
Last minute.
Yeah, it was a last minute addition to the show, whatever. I kind of wanted it to unfold a little bit before we discussed it. But in an interview with People Magazine, Jermaine Dupri states his opinion on current women rappers. He says, and I quote, "I feel they're all rapping about the same thing. I don't think they're showing us who's the best rapper. For me, it's like strippers rapping. Okay, you got the story about you dancing in the club. You got the story about you dancing in the club. You got the story about you dancing in the club." So he basically tried to say they all sound the same, and right. I'm not gonna sit here. I know. I get y'all. It's a lot of hip hop fans that's ready to, you know, I see y'all, and I'm not gonna sit up here and diss Jermaine Dupri's catalog so y'all can go on and put your pom poms down. You know what I'm saying? But it's a fairly relatively diverse catalog, but not diverse enough to be criticizing repetition in music. And also songs about the club. I think you, Mr. Dupri, should probably be one of the people that goes ahead and sits down in the back when they talk about having a lot of songs in a club. Just go back there. It's okay. Get up. Go ahead. Head back. Go back there.
Yeah, I don't know. What brought this about? Did they put him through the concussion protocol after he said all this? Or
what he was trying to do was big up the Brat's influence on hip hop and women in hip hop. And
sure,
okay, that's fine.
Fair enough.
But are we gonna do this? Right. So we're gonna do this. I just hit the table. Hopefully that didn't come through on the mic. Are we gonna do this? Are we going to sit here and act like the Brat didn't sound like Snoop when she first came out? Or what have we? How come we don't do that? Nobody's supposed to do that.
Did she come out after Snoop did?
She, what? Yes.
I can't remember, honestly.
I don't know why hip hop does not discuss it. I've seen interview after interview. I've seen people bring up the Brat on radio show after radio show. Some of them should Funkify was the jam. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna sit here and act like it wasn't the jam. But it's the Brat. Come on, fam. What are we doing right
now? Wait, so that came out right after Snoop?
That was
came out
after Snoop. Yes. Yes.
Dude,
that's when Crisscross went on their Snoop, their Dog Pound phase.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I just never thought about it. I never thought about her that much. She's cool though. She's mad cool.
Oh no, dude. Not only is she cool, she's put out some dope records over time.
She's put out some great records, yeah. But there's a lot of female MCs that put out dope records.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But I'm like, are we just?
You know your boy Kev got a chance to DJ for one of the best female rappers ever in the history of the world.
Light as a rock. Light as a rock. Yeah. And look, your boy Trek got openly dissed by Spinderella at a show. Like, I'm in.
Yes, you did.
I'm in. I'm involved.
You're a legend for that.
I am a legend for that. I think I won't go too far into it. I asked my wife for her opinion, and I told her I don't want an angry opinion on it. I want an actual thought out opinion on this, right?
How'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, I got the initial face, but I made the same face as she made. You know what I'm saying? And
it was just dueling faces. It was like a kung fu movie. Just faces.
Wait,
zooming into each other, back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
did you stroke your beard like Gordon Liu?
And here's what we concluded. And I'm gonna use a comparison here. Okay. Because in a way it is misogynistic, and I know, man, I know, fellas, but. It's a lot, because we always like to kind of tell people what they should be doing and how they should be doing it. And you know what I'm saying? So I kind of likened it to how I feel when non-black people try to tell me not to say nigga. I'll be like, okay, but wait, dude. I think as a community, we can decide that. We endured the insult of it. We'll decide what happens with that word. You know what I'm saying? In the same vein,
I'm choosing a different tact, by the way.
You what now?
I'm choosing a different tact. I've started a spreadsheet and counted every time you use that word throughout the history of this podcast. And once we get to episode 100, I'm just going to give you a chart of how many times you said it from episode to episode.
Oh, it's probably going to be it's going to be less than 50 times. I mean,
it's going to be a pie chart.
Okay, I'm with it. I'm all with it. That's a different path. That's you know what? There you go.
You know. I'm using big data. I'm trying to use big data to make the world a better place.
All right. Then there is nothing Asian about that at all. But the thing is, I don't know why outsiders always have to decide how the insider should speak about themselves. You've been doing records about strippers for years, dude. You've been doing records about strippers and chicks in the club and, you know, and basically objectifying women and whatever. And look, I danced to all of them and rapped them and turned the beat up and still listen to them. I prefer, just so we could throw the halo off, because I don't want to act like I wear one. I prefer misogynistic common to any other positive comment that's come out since. So just so you know, I like those records. You know what I'm saying? With that being said, though, I'm fully aware that, hey, yeah, let's just say that you're right. Let's say it sounds like strippers rapping. Okay, well, now that the stripper has her own voice, it's a problem? Why is it a problem now? Now it's a problem? You've been talking about her this whole time. Like, you know, and you're in the game. Like, you're close enough to be able to find the new Queen Latifahs. You're close enough to be able to find the new Lights. You're close enough to be able to find the new Lauryn Hills. I mean, I'm thinking right off the top of my head, and that's why I shouted out Cardi B on this. Cardi B just went on her Instagram and listed, you know, four or five dope women rappers that aren't talking about, you know, sex and partying and being in the club, right? She mentioned, of course, Rhapsody comes to mind immediately. I'm going to mention one that she didn't name, and that's Mickey Vail from San Diego. Shout out to Mickey Vail. Yeah, like, you really didn't, in order to big up the brat, you didn't have to do that. And you also didn't, I'm sorry, fellas, you don't get to decide. You know what I'm saying? You just don't get to decide anymore.
None of us. It's definitely a gender-based thing that goes beyond music, let alone rap music. But it's also a generational thing for us. I mean, like, come on. We obviously talk shit about the younger generation of rap music, because as much as our title might suggest otherwise, we are experts in this particular arena. And if you choose any topic or reason or field of battle on which to debate the righteousness of that assertion, we will body you,
right,
and put you
straight to
12 feet underground,
straight up.
But what I'm saying is that it's like you said, he did records about the club, and when he was doing his records, they mentioned strip clubs or the, or alcohol or drugs in a certain kind of way with a certain sort of lyrical treatment, right? The same things were being said by the people, the rappers who came before him,
mm-hmm.
and his artists, but they, those artists were saying it with an even deeper, more veiled, subliminal lyrical treatment.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you go back to listen to some of the real OG 70s, early 80s hip hop, it's like, oh, they were talking about drugs.
Yeah.
And I can now say that as a grown man. I was like, oh, you were talking about getting chicks and getting drugs.
Yeah. All day.
It's like, oh, okay, I get it now.
All day. All day.
So just because people are being a little bit more open and plain about it now, it's like, why are you catching feelings about it? And by the way, I'm sure the brat doesn't want you using that as a springboard of conversation to support her.
No, you didn't need to. She stands on her own. You know what I'm saying? To whatever level you put her on. You know, some people will think she's black, some people think she's great, but she stands on her own.
And if you were in the game at whatever era you happen to have been in the game at, the conscious artists of that era, I guarantee you saw them out in the streets doing crazy ass shit.
That's a whole nother topic. I don't want to do it. I do want you to do me a favor, though.
Okay.
On the list, there was a Nicki Minaj versus Miley Cyrus beef. I decided not to read about it. Can you?
That's a good decision. That's a solid decision on your part.
Can you briefly explain what this issue, what the problem is? And we could just move on. I just want to know what the problem was.
I think it's an ongoing thing. I will fully admit that I don't care about this.
Well, yeah, we don't care.
This is
at all.
Is in many ways, this is less of a who's who, more of a who cares. But I feel like Nicki is the Donald Trump of rap, and Miley is the Hillary Clinton.
Oh my God.
I will read from I don't know where this was. These are someone else's words. So, quote, the Nicki Minaj versus Miley Cyrus beef has been reignited after the rapper took to Queen Radio, which is her Beats One program, in late June to blast Miley Cyrus for, quote, trying to say the Queen's name for clout. Which,
I think I remember this.
The dig is an apparent response to Miley Cyrus' recent lyric on the song Catitude. It's a great name.
Fucking cats.
We should rename the podcast to Catitude.
Cats are back again.
Where she says,
damn it.
Cats suck. Says, quote, I love you, Nicki, but I listen to Cardi. That's pretty cold. So on her show, Nicki said, Purdue chickens can never talk shit about Queens, adding, she disrespected me in a magazine article for no reason. So right away, you know that the rhetorically, it's on.
It is on. It's happening.
This is like Hamilton. It's amazing how just the war of words and the level to which the linguistic gymnastics have taken off at this point. She called her a Purdue chicken, and then so people posted pictures of Nicki in less than revealing clothing, kind of looking like a piece of chicken.
Why is she?
Which is all I could think.
Why does the internet just? Oh man, and the internet just bombs on her so ridiculously.
Yeah, I mean, she's a Miley Cyrus is a soft target if ever there was one. This is the thing that so you told me before we recorded earlier that you were going to let me handle this, which it puts a lot of pressure on me. Because you do so much hard work for this show that when you throw something at me, I'm like, okay, well, I have to dig a little deeper. So my first thought was that, you know, I don't know if Purdue Chicken actually got a bump in their name recognition because of that. And they actually tweeted, they said, thanks for the mention, Nicki Minaj, but we don't know nothing about beef, which that's pretty clever.
Wow.
That's pretty clever for a poultry company.
Good job.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and then the next thought is that, there was a guy by the name of Sonny Perdue, who is, Donald Trump's agriculture secretary, who has dismissed the climate crisis as a weather problem. His quote was, it rained yesterday. It's a pretty nice day today. So I think it's weather patterns, frankly, when asked about his feelings on the climate crisis, which is affecting farmers.
Yes.
In a big way.
Right.
In this country. And so my thought was, you know, like, fuck that dude. It turns out, though, in good news for both Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus, and hip hop and shitty music, that he is not related to the Perdue chicken family.
Well, thank you. Good.
Which is fantastic.
That is fantastic.
This has all worked out very well. My only other thought about this is that Miley Cyrus has messed up to such an extent that Billy Ray Cyrus, who would have thought that Billy Ray Cyrus was going to be the woke Cyrus?
You know what, dude?
In the family.
I don't need you to win this many times in a row. All right? You have to settle it down because that's dead accurate. When I saw that Billy Ray Cyrus was the one to stand up, I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm completely out. I took my Black Panther hoodie off and folded it nicely and said, all right, this woke thing is moved on past me now. It's above me now. I'm done. Oh, my God.
You took your Black Panther hoodie to the Old Town Road?
I did. I took it down.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and close out on this topic because, you know. I did change the title of it because I thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
My title for the topic was The Spirit of Han Solo Lives On, because I think I wanted to make sure that my Star Wars nerdiness was put in here. How so? Star Wars fans are just straight up. This is a per source yep. AV Club. Star Wars fans are just straight up selling shit they stole from Disneyland's Galaxy's Edge.
Why not?
Galaxy's Edge has only been open to the public for 2 whole days, and already people are smuggling, shout out to Han Solo, pieces of the new Star Wars land out of the Disney park and selling them on eBay. And we're not talking about items for sale in the Galaxy's Edge shops, but actual items and parts that aren't meant to be removed from the park. And if you are Disneyland and you have based part of your Galaxy's Edge theme around smugglers' runs, he's got to take the L on this, Disneyland. You said it. You set yourself up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is so. Disney is using theft, so sort of misdemeanor to light felony crime, and generalized racism to market their properties.
Well. Hey,
that's the takeaway.
That is the takeaway
from our last couple episodes,
right? It's yeah. Which is probably the most Disney thing that they could actually do if we're really thinking about it. It just never ends.
Fantastic. In contrast to your in contrast to your nerddom, I can't even say this. I thought Galaxy's Edge was the new Samsung phone.
The silence is the sound of me quitting.
No, actually, I'm going to redeem myself because I will defend against your headline, my headline to this topic.
Okay, I'm with it. Headline battle.
But I can't do a Yoda voice though.
Oh, well, you know what?
My headline, just so y'all know, you can just envision this what's the audio equivalent to envision? Hear this in your mind's ear with the Yoda voice. My headline was, there is no buy.
With the Yoda voice?
With the Yoda voice.
You know what? That is nerdier than my headline.
Thank you.
That's actually.
I thought it was pithy.
Yeah, I think that'll be the one on RSR Podcast on Facebook. yo, what up? You now? God, dude, why are we like this? You rocking with Rap Sucks Radio, man. My name is Trek Life, and that's your fam, Kev Sakota.
There is no bye.
And you can catch us every Tuesday. You can catch some back episodes at rapsucksradio.com or on your Apple Podcasts or your Google Podcasts or just about any podcast. Although it seems like Stitcher is updating a little later than others, just a note for people out there.
Word.
And yeah, we'll catch y'all next week. And that's really about it.
No doubt.
That's really about it.
Are we going to do this in person or what?
Yeah, at some point. I think the next episodes we record will be in person. So the via satellite thing will chill out for a minute.
Word.
Word up. All right, y'all. Holla at us, man. RapSucksRadio.com. Track Life. Kev Sakota. Peace.
Peace.